and you will make all the difference for your company.
Más información en Barcelona en el 933398687, en Madrid en el 911335831.
Folks, we're back. That's right, folks. It's the Drive Time Show here on Vaughn Radio, the one and only. The one and only Vaughn Radio, the one and only Drive Time Show, here to help you with your English. And we've got a half an hour left. Nos queda media hora. We have a half an hour left, everybody. And we will later on answer some questions from listeners like you in our by request section. Mándame tus preguntas, tus dudas. Either on Instagram or on Twitter, I'm Kyle Miller, or you can also join me in my free Facebook group. It's called English with Kyle, the free Facebook group. Join the fun over there on Facebook and send me your questions. But for now, let's begin our half hour with today's What's the Difference? Like, ask, make, do, go, come, take, bring.
What's the difference?
What's the difference? All right, folks, it's time for today's What's the Difference, and it's time to talk about prepositions. Ah, vaya. Me encanta, people are saying at home, right? Por fin. Yeah. Prepositions, people. In, on, and at.
Me encanta.
I know. People often ask for this. But today, let's focus on these prepositions in terms of time, right? In terms of time. So, there are different ways. Of course, we can talk about, they have many meanings. But in terms of time, you would use the preposition in. I'll see you in July. We did it. We did that back in December. Christmas comes in December. So when we talk about a month, we would use in. When we talk about a season, in the winter, I wear a heavy coat. But in the summer, I wear a t-shirt and shorts. Okay? That is used with specific times. The show starts at 6 o'clock. It finishes at 7:30. The show always finishes at 7:30. It always starts at 6 o'clock. So at would be at a particular time. A particular time, even noon and midnight. At midnight, I was asleep at midnight. Kyle, what were you doing at midnight? Oh, I was asleep at midnight. What will you be doing at noon tomorrow? At noon tomorrow, I'll be drinking a coffee. At noon. Okay. And then on. So we use at with specific times. We use in with months and seasons. We use on with days. On Friday. On Saturday. I have a show on Monday, on Tuesday. I have another show on Wednesday. On Thursday and on Friday. But I don't have a show on Saturday. I don't have a live show on Sunday. But on Saturdays and Sundays, you can still hear the Drive Time Show on those days at different times. Okay? So on a day, at a particular time, in a month. Now, of course, in terms of physical, I think we'll leave that for another day. The uses in terms of physical positioning of these things and the meaning there with different positions for in, on, and at. But basically on is like saying encima, the book is on the table. At would be for another location. He's at the office. People often confuse this idea as well. Am I in the office or am I at the office? Well, both. Right now, we are in the office. I'm in the studio. someone calls me, Kyle, where are you? I'm at the Vaughn office. But if someone is outside, you know, smoking a cigarette, and I call Tino, hey, where are you? Oh, I'm at the office. But at that moment, he's not in. No está dentro. I'm at the office, but I'm not in the office because he's standing there smoking a cigarette outside. But he's, more or less in the general area, right? But in really emphasizes that you're inside. And there was a great example that I remember Richard giving a great example of the dog at the pharmacy. Or the dog was in the pharmacy. Un perro en la farmacia. Where's the dog? The dog is in the pharmacy. So you walk in to buy something and there's a dog. The dog is sleeping on the floor. ¿Dónde está el perro? Oh, why is there a dog here? There's a dog on the floor. There's a dog. The dog is, so you're emphasizing that the dog has entered. You wouldn't really say the dog is at the pharmacy, because to be at a place means to be there with some objective to do something. Haciendo algo, trabajando. El perro no está trabajando, pero está ahí durmiendo en el suelo. The dog is sleeping on there, and the dog is inside. Or you're in there, and there's a fly in the room. Hay una mosca por aquí. There's a fly in the studio. I would never say, oh, there's a fly at the studio. At the office, there are a lot of people here at the office today working. They're inside. They're here in the office. But if we're emphasizing that something is like encerrado dentro, we would use in. So like there's a fly in the studio, but I am at the studio right now broadcasting this show. Okay, so hopefully that makes sense. And there are other meanings are in, on, and at. We'll get to those another time. But let's have a look at our awesome adjective.
Awesome adjectives.
All right, the awesome adjective, everybody, today is hands-on. Ooh, it's a compound adjective. A compound adjective, Tino's favorite. Right? These are the adjectives that are two words, dos palabras, and we have to put the little guion, which is called a dash or a hyphen. And so whenever we have two words that form together an adjective, this is when you use the hyphen, and it becomes a compound adjective. Now, hands-on. We would say, he's a very hands-on boss. Es un jefe muy involucrado, I would say. Involucrado, directo. So imagine his hands on means he's doing it, something with his hands. He's doing it himself. He's physically there. He's present. Presente, involucrado, hands on. So it doesn't necessarily mean he's physically touched, you know, like a hands-on approach to managing the team. It doesn't mean you're touching the team or the computer or whatever, but you're just saying that you are there. You're involved, you're close. You're in regular contact and you're actively involved in something. A hands-on process. Hands-on learning. Like saying presencial, involucrado, y presencial. Hands-on. A hands-on learning experience. A hands-on management style. Hands-on work. Okay. So that is, that's today's awesome adjective, people. Hands on. Now, I want to talk about, a little bit of grammar. Ah, que bien gramática. Yeah, a little bit of grammar for you, people. Now, we used to do a section, a long time ago where I took a sentence, una frase, and we spoke about the sentence, broke it down, desglosado, por partes. And I thought that would be interesting to do today, to look at a sentence, which is, today, the following. La siguiente. Es la siguiente. The following sentence. It won't cost you much, 5 or 6 euros at the most, but definitely no more than 6. It won't cost, no te va a costar mucho, o no te costará mucho, 5 o 6 euros como mucho, pero seguramente no más que 6. Surely, definitely, no more than 6. So let's look at this sentence. First of all, it says, it won't cost you much. No te costará mucho. It won't cost you much. Notice the pronunciation of the word cost. Cos. We don't say cos. We say cost. You have to pronounce the T. Cost. It won't cost you. Chew. It won't cost you. And we do link the words. It won't cost you much. It won't cost you. It won't cost you much. Cost you. Cost you. How much should it cost? How much does a new TV cost? I don't know. Now, a common way to ask this was, how much would it cost me? So if we say a TV costs, I don't know, 300 euros. How much does it cost you? How much would it cost me? How much would a TV cost me right now? A TV would cost me 300 euros. How much would a new microwave oven cost me? I don't know. A microwave oven would cost me 100 euros. How much would a cup of coffee cost me? Or how much does a cup of coffee cost? How much would it cost me if I bought one now? It would cost me 1 euro 30. Maybe more. Están subiendo, eh? Cup of coffee. So the other day I flew back from Canada and I had a stopover, escala. I had a stopover in Montreal, which I talked about. I had another stopover in Brussels, Belgium. And I got a cup of coffee in the airport. It cost me, get this, folks, a cup of coffee, 370. 370. Hombre. Pricey.
I'm Japanese.
Yeah, exactly. It was a lot. And I had to buy one of those crazy overpriced sandwiches. I was really hungry. Tenía mucha hambre. So I bought a sandwich. And that's the situation they've got you, right? They've got you. You have no choice. Si tienes hambre, you have no choice. So you buy, even if you go to like Burger King, they raise the prices. You go in the airport, the Burger King is like double. You know? Because they know that you have limited choices. They take advantage. Aprovechan de eso. So I got the typical ham and cheese sandwich. And it was like, I don't know, 9 euros or something. Hombre. Anyway. Yeah, I know. How much does it cost you? How much would it cost? How much did it cost me, you say, Kyle? How much did that sandwich cost you? Okay. Yeah, how much would a sandwich cost you? Oh, it cost me 9 euros. Oh my gosh. Expensive. Okay. All right. So it starts off. It won't cost you much. 5 or 6 euros at the most, but definitely no more than 6. Definitely no. 5 or 6 euros at the most. 5 o 6 euros como mucho. At the most. Como mucho. At the most. Now we have similar structures. For example, at the late, como tarde. I'll be finished at 7:30. 7:31 at the latest. Como tarde. I'll be home at 8 o'clock. I'll be home at 8 o'clock. 8:15 at the latest. I'll be here on Monday at 5:45 at the latest. Right? A meal in Burger King should cost... €8. 10 at the most. Como mucho. Or driving from Barcelona should take what? 4.5 hours? 5 at the most. 6, Tino says. 6 at the most. E como mucho. 6 at the most. You could say, oh, it takes a long time to drive there. 5 at the least. Como mínimo. 5, eh? At 5 at the least. 6 at the most. Okay? At the earliest. At the latest. At the most. So we see this structure. Como mucho. And then, but definitely no more than 6. He says, no más que 6. No más de 6. No more than. No se dice that, sino than. No more than 6. So we don't say not more than. We say no more than. There are no more than. I don't know how many students there are in this office. There are no more than 100 students here right now. There are no more than 90,000 people in the in any stadium. I don't know how many people there are in the stadium in the Real Madrid stadium. I don't know how many people there are, but there's no more than no more than 90,000. But in Michigan, some of the biggest stadiums in Michigan, there's a stadium in Michigan, they call it the Big House, La Casa Grande. And it's a US football stadium, college football, university. Well, college, they call it. And the Michigan State Wolverines play there. And that they call it the Big House, Michigan Stadium. It holds 107,000. 107,000. 107,000. Now, the Camp Nou in Barcelona holds apparently 99,000. 99,000. Wembley Stadium in London holds about 90,000. The Bernabeu in Madrid, it holds apparently 81. No more than 81,000 people. Or no more than 82,000 people. No more than. No less than. So if Clásico, Real Madrid and Barcelona, no less than 81,000 people will be there. Although now I do because of COVID. I'm sure they have limitations because of COVID, right, Tino? I suppose. You can't go putting 90,000 people in a building. Although they do in the U.S. Están completos los estadios. In the U.S., if you look at the football stadiums in Texas, but this is why they have... Also in the United States, if you look, yesterday they had 672,000 COVID cases yesterday in the United States. And they all go to the football game without wearing, sin mascarilla también. I wonder why we have 672,000 COVID cases today. Well, maybe if we didn't go to the football stadium and without a mask and stand next to 92 other thousand people. Or 107,000 in Michigan. I don't know if there are games this weekend. Probably in the last couple of weeks, they had the bowl games, the big championship games for college football in the U.S. Fitting, you know, tens and tens of thousands of people into these buildings. And then everybody gets COVID and they kind of, you know, I don't know. Strange, the mentality of certain people about this stuff. Anyway, let's move ahead. Actually, let's go back, everybody. Every once in a while we have to do this. Hay que volver atrás to see where we've been before we look forward. And let's go back with today in history. Today in history. All right, everybody, it is that time. Yep, it is time, folks, for Today in History. We're going back to 1904. And we have Henry Ford setting the record, the speed record, the land speed record on this day in 1904. 91.37 miles per hour on Michigan's St. Clair Lake. The second time we're talking about Michigan in this half hour. And he was driving a four-wheel vehicle called the 999 with a wooden chassis, but no body or hood. His record was broken within a month of a guy from Florida named William K. Vanderbilt, who set the record. But the publicity around Ford's achievement was valuable to the auto pioneer. His record was broken by this guy out of Florida, William K. Vanderbilt, later on, within a month. But, of course, for Ford, it was very prestigious, right? Very prestigious to have this record, particularly when you're selling cars. So this is like Formula One. You have Formula One cars from Ferrari or Ford or McLaren. And they want to win races because it's prestigious for the car brand to win these races. So for Henry Ford, it was a big step. Now, he was born on a farm in what is now Dearborn, Michigan, in July of 1863. And he became an engineer in Detroit. He built a four-wheel vehicle with a gas engine that he called the quadricycle, and years later he founded the Detroit Automotive Company. But by 1901, the business had failed, and the same year Henry Ford became involved in auto racing as a way to promote himself and gather investors for future auto-making ventures. Late that year, the Henry Ford Company was established, and he left the business after having a disagreement with a guy named Henry Leland, who he had hired as a consultant. Now, so he left to start a separate company. Leland subsequently gave Ford's original company a new name, Cadillac. There you go, Cadillac Automotive Company. But in June of 1903, Ford incorporated a new company, the Ford Motor Company. And in January the following year, he set his record at Lake St. Clair, racing 1 mile in 39.4 seconds for a record speed of 91.37 miles per hour. And for the next several years, he continued to build race cars that met with a varying degree of success. In 1908, he launched his car series for the masses, the Model T, which revolutionized the automotive industry and American culture and society in general, really. A revolutionary vehicle. And in 1913, the Ford Motor Company started employing the moving assembly line at its plant in Highland Park, Michigan, which reduced the assembly speed of a chassis from 12 hours and 8 minutes to 1 hour and 33 minutes. The following year, Ford produced over 308,000 vehicles, more output than all the other car makers combined, which is impressive, which is incredible. You know, I love talking about Tesla. I talk about Tesla all the time. Let's be honest. I love talking about Tesla. I find it fascinating, the technology that they're doing, and I know that they are up to now. This year, in 2022, they'll probably build about more than a million cars. In the last quarter, they exceeded 250,000 cars, and they seem to be growing every quarter. So now they'll produce, I suppose, at least 250,000 every quarter. So more than a million, because the final quarter of this year will probably be up to 300,000, maybe. So maybe they produce 1.2 million, 1.1 or 1.2 million cars this year, which is a massive number, but it actually makes Ford's numbers maybe even more impressive. If you look at it, in 1913, to produce over 300,000 vehicles in 1913. That's incredible. That's incredible, really, if you think about it. Now, I don't know how many cars Ford makes now. I'll have to read it tomorrow because it's an interesting number. We get excited about Tesla and all these things, but still, these car makers like Volkswagen and Ford are producing huge amounts of vehicles every year. And many of them are going electric as well. Anyway, you hear the music, people. It means that it's time. They're saying, Kyle, get out of here. Ya está. All right. So I'm going to finish there, but I'll be back tomorrow. Mañana más. No te preocupes. We'll be back tomorrow with more at 6 o'clock. As I said, at 6 o'clock. I'll see you at 6 o'clock tomorrow for more Drive Time. Big thanks to Tino for a great job on the show today. Thank you, sir, as always. And remember to join the free Facebook group. It's called English with Kyle. And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Los profesionales de su empresa no comunican eficazmente en inglés. Su empresa no necesita clases de inglés. Su empresa necesita una solución y la necesita urgentemente. Muchas son las empresas españolas que despilfarran el dinero contratando clases de inglés a diestro y siniestro. Café para todos y resultados para nadie. Dominar el inglés requiere enfoque, esfuerzo y un plan. En Baugen Empresas tenemos un plan. Un plan hecho a medida para su empresa. No nos interesa vender clases. Nos interesa conseguir soluciones. Y para ello, tenemos un apasionado equipo de profesores formados meticulosamente en el método Vaughan. Llama al 911-335-831. 911-335-831. Su empresa necesita.